Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Why the Need to Please Makes Us Lose Ourselves and How to Find Our Way Back, by clinical psychologist Ingrid Clayton, is a trauma-informed nonfiction book about people, pleasing, self-abandonment, and recovery. Rather than treating excessive agreeableness as a personality flaw, Clayton frames fawning as a survival response that can develop in unsafe relational environments, especially during childhood or other chronic trauma. The book sits at the intersection of psychology, memoir, and self-help, drawing on clinical experience and personal insight to explain why some people respond to threat by appeasing, caretaking, or becoming highly compliant. Its purpose is both explanatory and practical to help readers recognize fawning patterns, understand their origins, and begin the gradual process of reclaiming agency, self-trust, and authentic self-expression. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, fawning is presented as a distinct trauma response, not a character defect. The book's central contribution is its argument that fawning belongs alongside fight, flight, and freeze as a genuine trauma response. Clayton explains that when direct resistance or escape is unavailable, a person may reduce danger by becoming more agreeable, attentive, or useful to the threat source. This reframes people-pleasing from a moral weakness into an adaptive survival strategy. That distinction matters because it changes the reader's interpretation of their own behavior instead of asking why they are too sensitive or too needy. They can ask what their nervous system learned to do in order to stay safe. The book is especially effective in showing why fawning often goes unnoticed. Because it can look like kindness, competence, or maturity, it may be rewarded by others while quietly eroding the person who performs it. Clayton's analysis gives language to a pattern many readers have felt but could not previously name. Secondly, the book links fawning to complex trauma and relational power imbalance. Clayton places fawning in the context of relationships where power is unequal and safety is conditional. Childhood is the clearest example, because children depend on caregivers who control access to security, approval, and belonging. In such environments, fighting back or leaving may not be realistic, so appeasement becomes the least dangerous option. The book extends this logic to adult relationships, workplaces, and social systems that reward compliance and punish disruption. This broader framing is important because it shows that fawning is not simply an individual quirk, but a response shaped by repeated relational danger. Clayton also highlights how the pattern can become embedded in identity over time. A person may stop noticing where their own preferences end and accommodation begins. By tying the response to chronic trauma and power asymmetry, the book helps readers see why fawning can persist long after the original threat is gone. Thirdly, self-abandonment and resentment are treated as key signals of the pattern. One of the book's most practical insights is that fawning often reveals itself through subtle internal signs rather than obvious outward behavior. Clayton emphasizes the emotional cost of always prioritizing other people's comfort, chronic resentment, exhaustion, numbness, and a growing sense of disconnection from personal needs. These signals matter because they indicate not just overhelping, but self-abandonment. The reader is invited to notice the moment when saying yes feels automatic, when disagreement feels dangerous, or when care for others is no longer reciprocal. This approach makes the book useful in everyday life because it trains attention toward bodily and emotional cues that have often been ignored. Clayton does not present resentment as a failing. She treats it as information. That is a useful corrective to advice that tells people simply to be more giving or less reactive. Here, internal discomfort becomes evidence that the self has been repeatedly set aside in the service of safety. Fourthly, healing is framed as unfawning through self-trust, boundaries, and bodily awareness. The book does not treat recovery as the elimination of the fawn response. Instead, Clayton describes healing as unfawning, a gradual process of building a new relationship with oneself. The emphasis is on developing internal safety, so that agreement is no longer automatic, and each response can be chosen more consciously. Practical steps include pausing before saying yes, noticing bodily tension, and learning to tolerate the discomfort that can arise when one expresses a need or boundary. This is a trauma-informed approach because it respects how deeply the pattern is wired and avoids demanding instant change. Clayton also stresses self-compassion, arguing that shame usually strengthens the cycle rather than breaking it. In this framework, healing means increasing self-trust enough to remain in relationship without disappearing inside it. That makes the book more realistic than advice that treats boundaries as simple techniques, because it recognizes that saying no may initially feel threatening to a nervous system trained to appease. Lastly, the book broadens the conversation about trauma to include social and cultural reinforcement. A valuable feature of Clayton's approach is that she does not locate fawning only in private psychology. She also shows how social environments can reinforce it. Hierarchical workplaces, patriarchal norms, racialized expectations, and other systems of power often reward agreeable, low-conflict behavior while discouraging direct self-assertion. This means that fawning can function as adaptation not only to family trauma, but also to broader cultural pressure. The book is therefore useful to readers who want a more contextual understanding of why people-pleasing is so pervasive. It also helps explain why some people experience their compliance as successful outwardly while feeling hollow inwardly. By connecting individual healing to structural conditions, Clayton avoids reducing the problem to personal willpower. That makes the book stand out from generic self-help titles, because it combines psychological insight with a realistic account of the social costs and incentives that keep the pattern alive. In conclusion, this book will be most useful for adults who recognize chronic people-pleasing, caretaking, conflict avoidance, or difficulty identifying their own needs. It is also highly relevant for survivors of childhood trauma, complex trauma, narcissistic abuse, or any relational environment in which safety depended on being agreeable. Therapists, counselors, and trauma-informed readers will find it especially valuable because it introduces a clear vocabulary for a response that is often overlooked in standard models of trauma. The main benefit of the book is that it helps readers move from self-criticism to understanding. By naming fawning as a survival strategy, Clayton makes room for compassion without minimizing the cost of the pattern. What distinguishes this book from other books on boundaries or codependency is its clinical framing of fawning as a nervous system-based response, not just a habit or attitude. It also stands out for balancing explanation with practical direction. Readers are not only told why they fawn, but how they can begin to notice, pause, and slowly reclaim agency. As a result, the book offers both intellectual clarity and a grounded path toward self-trust and more authentic relationships. If you would like to support Ingrid Clayton, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.